If you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. If you want to know what it means to be human, look at Jesus. If you want to know what love is, look at Jesus. And if you want to know what grief is, look at Jesus. And keep looking until you're no longer a spectator, but in fact that you are part of this story. Whether we agree with this or not, whether we like it or not, as far as God is concerned, and as far as Jesus is concerned, and as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, you are part of the story of Jesus. Even before Jesus came into the world, you were part of. You've always been, we've always been, all of us have been, in the mind of God, even before he begins his creation. And that we're now part of his story. Now, in John's gospel, he is so unique. I know I've mentioned this many, many times, but I think John wrote with a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye, because time isn't really the focus in John's writing, and yet it is the focus, because he's moving us to the past, and he's moving us to the present, and he's moving us to the future. But sometimes he does that out of sequence. He'll take us from the past to the future and then bring us back to the present, or from the present to the future and then back to the past. He's bringing it all together in Christ Jesus. So in John chapter 20, it's not really known as a Christmas story, but it really is a great gift, because he is the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. And if you've never received the gift, it's there waiting for you to receive. The greatest gift of all, of course, is Jesus. Now just think with me for a moment. Going back even before the beginning. And then Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created. I want you to think with me for just a moment. So in the beginning, God begins. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They say, let us make humankind in our image. And so in days, they're busy. 6 days creating all things. And then on the seventh day, God rests and says, maybe not reading it in scripture, but he's saying, it's finished. The creation, it is finished. And then on the seventh day, God rests. And then following that seventh day, life flourishes. It explodes off the page. And think of the last week of Jesus' life. He's very, very busy. And on the cross, he is fulfilling, completing the work that God sent him to do. And so the last word he says on the cross is, it is finished. When God finished creating on the sixth day, it's finished. On the cross, Jesus takes all of creation and he says, it is finished. And as God rests, Jesus' body goes to the tomb and rests. And then back in Genesis, life flourishes in the garden. And Jesus comes out of the tomb and he's found in the garden. And life will never be the same again for any of us, because Christ, the greatest gift of all, fulfilled what was said by an angel in a dream to Joseph. Mary is with child, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. And John says that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And as we know, there have been people who've been searching all of their life for the meaning of that, which is the story of the Magi. Hundreds of miles away, these Zoroastrian priests who worship the stars find the star that begins to move, and they follow the star, and they know that it has something to do with the king, but not just the king, but the king who would rule forever and forever and forever. And they can't grasp it, but they have to follow until they find him. There was a gnawing at them, and I suspect even at Christmas time, there is a nudging, a gnawing in our heart to know more of who is this Christ. And so in John 20, he is so unique in looking at the past, looking at the present, and looking at the future. And it's not just by chance, I think, that he says that new creation begins in the garden, just like it did back in the beginning of all things. So we can find ourselves in this remarkable story. One of the things that John does is he says, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit have always been at work together. I just want to share a couple of these scriptures with you. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then if you were to move all the way to this gospel in John chapter 1, John, looking back at the beginning of all things, says the same thing. In the beginning. Then he says this. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him, notice, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. And then he goes on to say, in him was life, and that life is the light of all people. But John's not the only one that grasps this. The Apostle Paul is always bringing us back to Jesus being the one who sustains and holds all things together, moving along to the redemption of all things that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 19. And I just want to read to you somewhat of a familiar passage that is just always mind-blowing as far as I'm concerned. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, hear these words talking about Jesus. The Son of God, the Son, is the image of the invisible God. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. He is the firstborn over all creation. For in Jesus, all things were created. I want to just stop and maybe get very personal with this scripture that I think is important, not just at Easter, but at Christmas. Because I think the way that we can read it is this way. For in him, Don Smith was created. And you put your name there. We're part of all things, aren't we? For in him, even before the beginning of all things, and the one who holds all things together, the one who creates all things, your name was in there, but not just your name, you, who you are, a person of great faith, or a person of great doubt, or a person who feels life is pretty good. Are you as a person that feels like life makes no sense? Or for you who are wanting a greater faith, or for you who have no faith but want that crumb, for those of you who've lost that nudging of the Holy Spirit that's always wanting to bring you to the birth and always wanting to bring you to the cross and always wanting to bring you to the resurrection and always wanting to bring you to the meaning of life every single day, if you've lost it, you can get it back at the birth of Christ because he sustains your life. And if you feel like you can't sustain your life, then don't. Give it to him and let him do it because he will. All it takes is an asking. All of this is part of this baby story who never remained a baby. And he eventually went to the cross. But what can sometimes happen in our world today is remembering his birth and remembering his death and remembering his resurrection. But when you read the Gospels, it's the daily life every single day that Jesus emphasized. Yes, his birth. Yes, his death. Yes, his burial. Yes, his resurrection. But the daily life, knowing that all of life was created not only with us in mind, but that right now, the present moment, we can see God and watch him work in this world. So when he says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He was before all things, and in him all things hold together. These powerful words are found here. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So even though we're physical beings living on the earth, your name is known to the angels in the universe. Your name has always been known by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who one day will bring all things together, moving forward to a new birth, a new creation of all things. And you are part of the story. It's a reminder at the birth that it's the birth of the beginning of all things. And on the cross, when he says, it's finished, I've completed the work. My death is the atoning sacrifice for all people, so that in him, as John says, we may have life. Not just after we die, but life with meaning and ripeness every day. And so I find this to be an incredible story. And then in Revelation, look at this, if you would. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. John writes the revelation. Of course, John does. And when you read the revelation, he's going to take us back to his gospel. He's going to take us back to the beginning. He says, John, to the seven churches, the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is present, who was past, who is to come future, and for the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, to the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Look, and this is a quote from Daniel. Look, he's coming with the clouds and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, all the peoples on earth will mourn because of him. I am the first, the Alpha. I am the last, the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Lord Almighty. So Christmas, I'm not sure what it's like in your family. I'm not sure what it's like if you have a memory of looking back on children when they were younger, or grandchildren now, or whatever it is, but there's such joy. And I remember for us and our kids growing up, there was a lot of running around at Christmas. Now, as an adult, when I say there's a lot of running around, maybe that you relate to that, saying, well, yeah, there's a lot of running around at Christmas, going here, going there. That's not what I mean. I don't know what it's like at your house, but I remember so many times waking up and there was running in the house. Dad, wake up, wake up. Got to get to the gifts. And there's running to the gifts, tearing the gifts apart, running around, just joy, such amazement. And in this story in John chapter 20, there's running. John and Peter are almost like in a race. There's running around to see what's happening. So in John chapter 20, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, to one whom Jesus loved. She came running to Peter. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb, and they both were running. But the other disciple, John, outran Peter, got to the first to the tomb and looked inside. And then you remember the reading that we read today. There was the cloth that was still there, and they're trying to figure it all out. And verse 8 says, finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went inside. He saw and he believed, and they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. See, Jesus is a gift that keeps on giving. His birth. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus, even from a baby, and watch his life grow. And he begins to grow and develop and so forth and so on all the way through. And at this resurrection, it's what the Scriptures had always talked about. He shows us that death is not the end. And then we'll conclude with these words, because I just think it's pretty cool. And John knows that all life began in the garden. So where else would new life begin? After Jesus goes to the cross and takes all of our sins and says, death is not the end. We can live with purpose every day, no matter what's happening in our world and what's happening in our life. He's right beside us. He's inside us, living with us. And even though we're lost, we can understand Mary's story. Verse 11, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they've put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking that Jesus was the gardener. She said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. She thought Jesus was the gardener. And she's right. He is the gardener. He's never left the garden. He created all things and put life in the garden. The earth is God's garden. And he is the gardener. He's always hoeing our soul. He's always pulling weeds that seem to pop up. He's helping to create those flowers, roses sometimes, that we need. He's the one who gardens our soul. The birth of Jesus is profound. And if we could put our shoes in Mary's position, I think we would say the same. She grabbed hold of him. I'm going to never leave you. And he said, no. Don't hold on to me. I want you to go and live your life. Go and tell others. How have we been doing with telling others? I don't mean from taking somebody from point A to point Z in spiritual terms, but just at this time of the year saying, it's beautiful to come to a candlelight service and to remember that Jesus is the reason, not just for the season, but he's our life. I can't imagine living life without Jesus. Simple sermon preached. And that we live our lives constantly, even in the present, even if we've been Christians for years, always being surprised at what Jesus is willing to and continually will teach us, showing more of himself to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And that just doesn't seem enough. Father, we love you for what you continually do, not only in our lives, but for the lives of our loved ones and friends and people we don't even know. Thank you for putting your spirit in us. And may we pay attention to the nudging that you put there. of never being completely satisfied with our faith, but wanting to know more of you. We can't thank you enough, not just for the birth of Jesus, but for who he is, what he has done for us, what he continues to do for us. And based on all of that, how can we not do for others as Jesus has done for us? May we share the message of Jesus, but not just the message. May we speak to people, live for people in such a way that Jesus can change their life forever. The very one who holds all things together, every single one of us in this room. May this season and this new year to come be the greatest spiritually fulfilling year we've ever had because we keep our eyes on you. We thank you. Amen.